broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Eddie Miller on your radio. Happy to have you along. This is the broadcast for March the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our two of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting news that Edwards refused to use. Man, last hour we talked about a bunch of incredible topics. We talked about this Seth Rich murder. Wow. It's out of control. Father of Seth Rich admits that Seth leaked the DNC email. WorldAffairsBrief.com, Joel Skousen breaks it down like no other. Bottom line, the evidence clearly shows that Seth Rich, a staffer working at the DNC, was indeed the leaker. He was killed for his betrayal. That's a shocking, shocking reality check, ladies and gentlemen. We've talked about the body counts and a lot of things for a long time, but man, it's getting crazy. What do you think? Did you know about this Seth Rich scenario, Eddie?
Yes and no. I didn't know about the latest developments there, but I'm all too familiar with how you get Arkansas-ed.
Yes, sir.
Sam, by the way, thank you so much for bringing me on the show tonight, Sam. You're a true hero. You're a true American treasure. Not many people would touch this topic that you touched, Sam, because many of them have, and many of them have been Arkansas-ed. Now, getting back to Seth Rich, he was Arkansas-ed. We all knew it. We might not have had the proof at the time, but I could tell people to read just as many, many volumes they could read. If you go back and if you read The Mysterious Death of Vince Foster, these people, Sam, these people will kill their own relatives. For instance, the Clintons grew up with Vince Foster over there in southwestern Arkansas. I mean, they were childhood friends. They went to high school, went to junior high school, went to college together. They took him to Washington, and they killed the man. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt.
There's no doubt, and Seth Rich's case is very similar. They claimed it was a robbery, but all evidence points to that's just not honorable or truthful at all. He was on the phone with his girlfriend at the time. He got shot in the back. They literally didn't even take anything off of his person. He had a $2,000 necklace on, a watch on, money, cell phone. None of that stuff was taken. I mean, it is disaster. But speaking of murder, it's bad in America when you hear about the Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton body count list. How much of it's factual or not, I don't know everything. I just know this. There are so many strange circumstances that cannot be explained away and deserve investigation. From Vince Foster at one bookend, if you will, to Seth Rich, the other bookend, and all the tragedies in between. The boys murdered on the train tracks right on through. It's just crazy. However, as bad as it is in America, it's worse in other countries. It's far worse in Africa. I mean, there's genocide big time of whites in South Africa. And we have a second guest in addition to Eddie Miller, well known for the Political Cesspool radio program. We've got our buddy Simon Roche from Africa on the line as well. Hi, Simon. Welcome, sir.
Good day. Good evening. Welcome. Good morning.
Hey,
thank you.
Depends on where you are. That's a great point. Now, you toured the United States and had a wonderful time doing it. What's your take as you leave Africa? You know what's going on in Africa. You come to America. You try to raise the alarm bells, if you will. Then you go back to Africa. What's your take on your tour through America as a whole?
As a whole, it was the country is remarkably beautiful, and I was almost brought to tears at one point. And we were driving in a car, my partner and I said to him, it's such a heartbreaking shame to see such a magnificent land being given away to strangers. Another thing that was outstanding was the quality of the people that we met. I'm not talking now about cashiers in the Walmart, but the people that we met in the presentations that we made across the length and the breadth of the USA, the quality, the bright-eyed, fresh-faced, well-mannered, eager, enthusiastic, polite, decent, respectable young people, it was incredible for us to see that sort of consistent, almost genetic class throughout the USA. I would say those were the two outstanding features of our experience.
Now, I want to highlight this really quick, though. You got a great reception from a lot of people who understand the issue and who are concerned as well. But the nation as a whole doesn't want to talk about this genocide going on in South Africa, do they?
No, they don't. We made contact. We initially went there because although we are the world's largest civil defense organization, a non-state-owned civil defense organization, we are in ethos very Calvinist Christian. And so we initially made contact with churches. We made contact with 782 and 156. So I think that's 938 churches that we contacted, and they would have nothing to do with us.
And what would they say about it? Would they just believe that it's racially tinged? To me, the murder of people has nothing to do with racially tinged, except for that's what's driving the murder. And the reason I say it has nothing to do with racial issues is because murder's murder. God just says, thou shalt not kill. He doesn't talk about race. But yet they've turned it into a racial agenda.
Yes, absolutely. They never said as much, but it was apparent to us, and we know the score, you know. So after a while, you can read between the lines very easily, and I'm pretty sure that was the reason. I think that, you know, not to be crass, but I think that if I had been a Ugandan lesbian cripple, they would have thrown the doors open to me. But it wasn't the case, regrettably.
It's hard to fathom. It's hard to deal with. Now, I don't know if these people don't care or if they're just too afraid. Simon?
I think that they're afraid of losing their 501c3 status, if that's the correct term.
That's right.
And I think that they're afraid of being... I think it's a bit like... And I'm speaking as an outsider now, of course. I don't mean to speak out of turn. But if I recall correctly, in about March, April, or May of last year, the Southern Baptist Convention accepted homosexual marriages. And I don't think they did that to keep their 501c3. I think they kept it to remain relevant. This is the term that all these churches use all the time. So I think it was a bit of both. You know, I think the churches didn't want to have anything to do with us because we're white and complaining about, you know, murders that are being perpetrated by blacks. That's fundamentally the thing, whether people like it or not. And because we're not fashionable.
I'm going to complain about murder anywhere, by anybody, to anybody, everywhere. We got murdering going on blacks in America every day to the tunes of thousands. We got literally Margaret Sanger's Planned Parenthood that literally targets blacks in the United States, for example, murdering literally up to 2,000 to 3,000 babies a day in America. Are we going to talk about murder or not? Isn't that really the issue, Simon?
That is exactly the issue. You know, if we were being murdered by, you know, a plague of locusts or whatever, by green people, we would still be saying, hey, we as a group, as an identifiable entity, are being specifically targeted by these locusts or by these green people, whatever. It amounts to a crisis, no matter who's doing it, and frankly, no matter who it's being perpetrated upon. But we, as white people, are naturally looking out for our kith and kin, and we're endeavoring to stand together. But you are perfectly correct. It's murder is murder.
All right,
let's
have Simon do this. Let's have him update on the latest changes. Then after the break, Eddie, we'll start with some questions you have. Simon, give us an update. What's really changed? We've known this has been going on for some time, but it's escalated, right?
It has escalated dramatically. We've got a new president who, shortly after he was elected, in fact, before he was elected, when it was apparent that he would become the president, said that he's going to pursue the confiscation of white-owned land. In fact, the term that he has used is white-owned property without compensation. And he's had massive support. Three-quarters of the parliament voted for that process to begin. 2 days later, or 3 days later, a motion was introduced in the parliament for the nationalization of the Reserve Bank. And then in January and February, from the 1st of January to the end of February inclusive, The rate of farm attacks of white farmers in South Africa went from 22 in 2017, for that approximately 60-day period, 22 farm attacks in those 2 months, to 119 in these past 2 months. So there's a hang of a lot going on. It's very distressing. Many people are extremely anxious. We have about 45,000 commercial farms in South Africa, of which 21,000 are on the market for sale right now.
So South Africa Parliament votes to confiscate land from white farmers. Then President says, hey, he supports it. South African President calls for confiscating white-owned land. Go ahead, sir.
I beg your pardon. Sorry. I just wanted to say, in fact, he instigated it. You know, he instigated it prior to being elected or put into his new position. And then a rival party brought the motion into Parliament, and he and all of his people, the African National Congress of Nelson Mandela fame, which is fundamentally our Communist Party. Our Communist Party is the intellectual part of the African National Congress.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Simon Roche with us. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Simon Roche is in South Africa. The president and the parliament there say they're going to literally steal land from white farmers. Genocide going on big time. No one's talking about it around the world hardly, except Liberty Roundtable is.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got Simon Roche from Africa on the line. I've got Eddie Miller, well-known co-host of the Political Cesspool radio program tonight. Every Saturday night, award-winning talk radio, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. You'll dig it. We're talking about this president in South Africa literally calling for stealing white farmers' land. And then literally the parliament votes for such abuses as the genocide escalates, Eddie.
You know, Sam, and it's almost too much for me to deal with. By the way, I'd like to shout out to my dear brother, Simon Roche. How are you doing, Simon?
I'm doing well, thank you, Eddie, and it's lovely to hear the sound of your voice. It brings back many warm, warm memories.
Likewise, Simon, I've met many people in my lifetime. I've never met anyone that impressed me more than you did. I'd like to tell the audience, I spent years, when you listen to Simon Roach, you're listening to the real deal. He is the George Washington of South Africa. He could be the George Washington anywhere. I spent 3 days with that man back in August. I rode to Charlottesville with him and four other just sterling characters. And he was a non-combative participant up there. He never took a part in any of the combativeness. I didn't either. I was up there as a reporter. But this man, he's telling you the truth. And Simon, with that, why don't you get as graphic as you can? Tell the people some of the atrocities that you have witnessed, in the past and witnessed every day already, even before this dastardly parliamentarian act was passed. Tell the people some of the physical violence you've seen over there, Simon, in South Africa.
Dear me, Eddie, I don't know where to begin. I, of course, as you know, a part of my skull is shattered from an attack, and I have an axe wound in the front of my face over two lips. I've been shot at a couple of times. They attempted to execute my father. They put him on his knees, and as he was praying to Almighty God, they pulled the trigger of the gun twice, and twice it didn't fire, and so they sort of ran away. I've just come from the farm of a man who was shot through the ear. The bullet went into his ear and went through the palate of his mouth and out through the other side. I've just been on the farm of a woman whose father was brutally murdered in the most despicable way. Of course, I have done presentations and shown some of the other people we know who've been attacked, and there are all sorts of stories. One little girl was of 4 years old was nailed to the table, the kitchen table or the dining room table of the farmhouse, and her parents had to watch. They were trussed up as she was raped by three men. Nailed to the table, crucifixion style. Another little girl of 3 years old was raped by four men, and the post-mortem autopsy revealed that she survived the rape, and they bundled her up in newspaper and poured gasoline into the newspaper and then set the newspaper alight, and that was what caused her to die. There are some stories recently, very recently actually, an elderly couple was trussed to the chairs in their house, not on a farm, in a suburb, and they were, the wife was cooking. Apparently the criminals didn't do this. The wife had already on the stove boiling water and oil. I don't know, perhaps she was making chips, French fries, I don't know. But anyway, they took these two pots and they took turns pouring the oil over the one and the water over the other, the oil over the one and the water over the other until they died. There's a very well-known story of an elderly lady, she was 60 years old, who was trussed up in a chair, and then they took a Black & Decker drilling machine and drilled through her ankles, one, then through her knees, then through her hips, then her wrists, elbows, and shoulders, and she passed away naturally. There's a very recent story of a man who was trussed up, an elderly man in his 70s, if I'm not mistaken, who was trussed up and put in his Ford pickup truck, and it was locked, with the remote control locking key. And so he couldn't get out, trussed up as he was. And then they set the truck on fire, and he burned to death like that. But the list of stories is endless. Perhaps those anecdotes will suffice.
All right. I want to talk about this, though. The land grab proposal literally has the potential, but I would say the almost guaranteed likelihood of just ratcheting up racial realities and divisions to the nth degree. They basically literally say blacks unite from these Dutch thugs and invaders into our land. It's your land. Go ahead and take it. They're literally forcing a racial divide, encouraging murder. And this theft of property at a government level in America is saying nothing.
Well, that's absolutely correct.
Go ahead, Eddie.
Put your finger on something. Sorry, I beg your pardon. Go ahead, Eddie.
Go ahead, Eddie.
I was just going to say, what we're seeing here, and to back up what Sam just said, what we're seeing here is a pure, raw ethnic hatred that cannot be denied. It's there in South Africa. It's here in America. And people, the naysayers, try to avoid it. It's racial hatred. And here's the difference here. It's also state-sponsored racial hatred and racial murder in South Africa. And I'm going to run this by you and Sam. We're starting to see some of the parallels. I'm going to ask Simon in a minute what parallels he's seen in America when he came over here that portends our fate that's going to follow South Africa's fate. But firstly...
Now, hold on. Let me get to a point here that I want to make because I think it's relevant, and I think it dovetails into where we are in America. Eddie, and let me paint this picture for Simon really quick. Simon, I want you to respond. They say that this action now is because some of the radical folks in the parties over there, political parties, are literally losing money hand over fist in the party, and this is the way they feel like they can kind of shore up cash to promote their radical agenda, right?
Well, yes. You know, it always turns out the same way. The farms are not going to go to the poorest of the poor.
And so I'm convinced that component is involved there. Now, political parties in America are under fire. Americans are starting to realize, hey, these parties are a big old scam. And Americans are saying, hey, the party's over. The Democratic Party's on the ropes with scandal and everything else. You kind of wonder if that's the way they'll back into it in America, Eddie.
Absolutely. Simon and I have talked about in the past when he was over here, some of the parallels that he saw in South Africa 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago that are shaping up to be the same parallels we see here in America. For instance, you see the government-sponsored racial hatred of recently here in Memphis, Tennessee, where the statue of General Nathan Bedford Forrest was removed in the middle of the night against all laws. And I would ask Simon, you know, Simon, go back if you can, if you remember our conversation, some of the parallels that you see here in America that are unfolding, is going to lead us to the same fate that you and your people are suffering now in South Africa. Do you remember any of the parallels that you've seen?
Yes, absolutely. You know, Eddie, I hope that this doesn't sound dismissive or supercilious or patronizing, but it's impossible for me to convey to you in words just how many parallels there are and how identical the parallels are. What is transpiring in America now is what we went through 25, 30 years ago. Bear in mind that we've had this multiracial democracy for 24 years. It'll be 24 years old in April this year. Prior to that, there was a long period of propaganda in which we were told we were bad, nasty, horrible, ugly. Everything. You cannot imagine the onslaught, the overwhelming deluge of propaganda that we received every single day of our lives, primarily through our mainstream media, our global capital owned and driven mainstream media. And what is transpiring in the USA now, one generation later, in sociological terms, a generation is nominally 25 years. One generation later, exactly the same thing is being done in America. The core of the American identity, of the U.S. identity, is being eroded. Those people who built the society and modeled it on their values, norms, and mores, their culture and customs, their centuries-old beliefs, millennia-old beliefs, are being told that you are, in fact, the problem.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. I think the end game is to destroy the beacon on a hill known as America, to destroy people who believe in God. It is about God, family, and country for us and the protection thereof. For them, it's about the destruction of the same. Simon Roche from Africa, Eddie Miller with us. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hang tight. A lot more to come, folks.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. But, you know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill, or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
South African President Jacob Zuma literally calling to take away land from white farmers, the violation of private property. The whole purpose of governments, ladies and gentlemen, is to protect life, liberty, and property. They're literally doing the opposite, denying white people their liberty, literally murdering people so it's pro-death, not pro-life or the protection of life. They're literally stealing property. They're basically following the playbook of Zimbabwe, if you will. They're using the courts and the legislative efforts or parliament over there to do it. The president's calling for it. It's hostile in nature. But really, it's about this battle over the protection of life, liberty, and property. And it's about God, family, and country, Simon.
It is about God, family, and country, Sam. You know, our Minister of Health recently revealed in an interview that one little black girl of 11 years old has had 8 state-sponsored abortions. This was in a television interview. And that is indicative of the sick, sad, perverse, rotten society that we live in. And, you know, we're coming to realize more and more. I don't want to get too much into religion, but we're coming to realize more and more and more that unless we stand together in coherent groups, we don't stand a chance. And the best examples I can give, irrespective of anybody's faith, but I think of the Mormons, particularly in the USA. My son's best friend is a Mormon boy, and you see the sense of community, the co cohesion amongst those people that keeps them together, and they are, it's with far greater difficulty that the fabric of their society is frayed, you know, because they look inwards and they look out for one another. And we've got to start doing that. We've got to become practically Amish, Mennonites, Quakers, I don't know what. But unless we start looking after ourselves, nobody is going to do it for us. Life, liberty, and property will be taken away from us little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit, to the point where our own children are like that black girl, and they're at the age of 11 having so much sexual intercourse that they're getting 8 state-sponsored abortions. Only we can protect them from that through a sense of community, through cohesion and coherence. There's no other way to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, just for the record, I happen to be a Mormon or a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in good standing as well. And, you know, we do need to stand together to protect one another and stand for God, family, and country, Eddie.
You got that right. You both nailed it. It's Simon, never, ever feel bad or fear about being too religious. It's all about religion, and it's all about race, my friend. And, you know, people that listen to Political Cesspool, listen to me and Sam talk, we've kind of paraphrased it, this from the Bible many times. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers of darkness. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, and I'm going to run this by Simon and by Sam. What we see here, what we see in South Africa, and what we see, it's already here in the United States, not as bad as South Africa. The same thing we saw in the Ukraine in the 1920s. And in the USSR, the 1918, 1920s, we saw millions of people slaughtered there by a godless people, a people that hated these people, the so-called Russian Revolution, I'll go back to that, was not a Russian Revolution at all, to quote Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Everybody knows him. I mean, he's a genius. He said it was a war against Russians. It was a war against white Christian people. These people that started the revolution, that pushed it on, they hated Russians. They hated Russians mainly because they were Christian, and they're the ones who put them in the death camps. It's the same people that starved out the entire country, the Ukraine, and then Ukraine and Holodomor. It's the same. I maintain to y'all, it's the same force, the same offspring of this godless people that created the so-called Russian Revolution that destroyed Russia and destroyed the Ukraine. The same force there, they're in there destroying South Africa, and they're trying to destroy this country here because it's an ethnic hatred, and it's just like Sam said.
Yeah, the bottom line is it's liberty versus godless tyranny, and they're using every fault line they can find to divide and conquer and win with communist violent rhetoric as their trump cards, Simon.
They're godless. You're right.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And you can pick it up in the USA. We went to a number of cities that were, you know, a bit sad to see, places like Baltimore, Maryland. I mean, it's a tragedy. You just want to go down on your knees and weep to see how it's been corroded by liberalism. And they use this rhetoric, you know, even as they're destroying something, they're telling you it's your fault that they're doing it. You know, it's unbelievable. And they do such a good job of making Christians feel guilty, particularly Christians and secondarily white people. And we've been sucked into it. I'll give you the most poignant example in the United States. I, at one point, there was a problem with my credit card. And I couldn't hire another car. I had to give in the hire car, and then I caught some Greyhound buses for a while until the credit card thing was fixed. And I rode for about 2,500 miles on Greyhound buses. Now, this may seem impossible for you to believe, but I tell you it's the truth. I saw many black couples on those Greyhound buses. I didn't see one single white couple. But I saw many, many, many black men with white women. I've never seen anything like it, not even in the new South African rainbow nation, where you would expect to see the most of it anywhere in the world, for obvious reasons. I never saw so many mixed race couples in my life as I did on Greyhound buses in the United States. And those little girls have been told that to seek out their own people, to propagate their own race, their own identity, their own culture is not as valid as to miscegenate with others. And it is the most perfect, iconic example of how America is being corroded by the same rhetoric that we were undermined by 25, 30, 35 years ago.
All right. There's parallels that are shocking, ladies and gentlemen. In my mind, if we're going to stand up and talk about the abuses around the world, this is one that certainly cannot be ignored. I don't know where Donald Trump is, but he's certainly not speaking out on this one like he ought to be. However, Daily Caller, Alex Jones, myself, Daily Mail, there's a few people around the world reporting it, but not enough of us for sure. Now, I want to bring up guns because I believe this is one of the critical reality checks where I think that we're going down the wrong road in the United States of America. Can white people have guns? That's the great equalizer, sir. I call a gun a rape me not or a gun a rob me not, because I believe that's really what happens when good people have the ability to use their unalienable right of self-defense. It's a God-given right. Everybody should have the ability to defend themselves. Do they have guns for the white people in South Africa to stop the abuses?
Well, yes, we're allowed to own guns, but we're not allowed to own automatic weapons. And to get a semi-automatic weapon is difficult. Let's say you want to buy a pistol, a 9mm pistol. You have to do a course, then you have to do a practical examination and a written examination. Then the fourth step is that you have to submit an application which contains, it's a big, thick thing, it's a tremendous document, and it must contain a character reference. Then after 3 months, you may or may not get a license for the pistol. And you have to buy the pistol first, but you may not take it from the shop. So you buy the pistol, then you get a license for that particular weapon.
Let's be clear. You don't buy the pistol. You pay for the pistol. You don't buy it because you don't get it, right?
Well, yes, in that sense, you're correct. And as a matter of interest to you, some years ago, the government launched a massive campaign to get back guns, legally owned guns, to have them handed in at police stations. And those legally owned guns, needless to say, were owned mostly by white people. Now, here's an interesting fact. The government is saying that those guns are the cause of crime. You know, the more guns there are in a society, the more crime there is. But the number of registered licensed firearms owned by white people is fewer than the number of weapons, the number of rifles and handguns, particularly AK-47s, Makarovs, and Tokarovs, that was lost, that were lost by the African National Congress when they brought them into South Africa prior to the multiracial democracy. In other words, when they were conducting their terrorist campaign, they brought in about 10 million weapons. Of those, 2 million went missing. And it's those weapons that are being used for the crimes. But we're being told, hand in your guns. You mustn't have a gun, God forbid. Because if you've got a gun, people die. It's this rhetoric, this narrative is beyond perverse. I don't even expect your listeners to fully believe what I'm saying, because it doesn't make any sense. But it happens to be a fact.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Good guys need guns. The problem is they want to take away guns from the good guys and they want to arm the bad guys because they want this racial, this political, this religious divide, and in the ashes shall they build their tyrannies, globally speaking. You think I'm crazy? Keep an eye on the ball, ladies and gentlemen. Simon Roche from Africa, Eddie Miller on the line, Liberty Roundtable Live. Hang tight. More to go.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Eddie Miller, well-known co-host of the Political Cesspool radio program, and Simon Roach on your radio. And this is serious business, folks. They're literally attacking white people. They got a divide and conquer agenda along every fault line they can find. That is their goal. And their goal is to destroy God, family, and country. They're violating the protection of life, liberty, and property. And I submit to you that guns and the difficulty of owning the ability to have the great equalizer or your ability of self-defense is at the heart of their abuse, because they know if they can take down the light on a shining hill, the United States, or a shining light on a hill, they know if they can take down the freedom fighters who have the ability, the good guys with guns, if you will, they know they can win. Now, Donald Trump literally pitched himself as a Second Amendment supporter. But now listen to the Donald, Simon.
In the possession or of might individual. Take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system. Because a lot of times, by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures, I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case that just took place in Florida. He had a lot of firearms. They saw everything. To go to court would have taken a long time. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process second.
Take the guns first, due process after the fact, Eddie Miller? There's Donald.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would like to respond to the Donald that the greatest killer of human beings in the world in the past, I guess, 500 years, maybe 1,000 years, is a process called democide. It's death by government. I know you know about this, Sam. I'm sure Simon knows about it, too. There's been countless millions of people slaughtered by government. And the first thing that all the governors like to do when they get control, when they're getting ready to slaughter their people, it's not good for your health to come kicking down doors of people that have got a 30-yard six in their hands. The same way with the 12-gauge shotgun. That's what they want to do. And I'm not speaking just of my own beliefs. If you go back and look in history, Sam, and I know I'm preaching to the preacher here. By the way, you're doing an excellent job running this show, Sam. The first thing these tyrannical, out-of-control, godless governments do, they disarm the people in every single case. It happened in Argentina. It's probably happened in Mexico. I know it's happened in all the old USSR countries, you know, Poland, Czechoslovakia, you know, especially in Ukraine and all of Russia. They disarmed the people. That's what they did. They most certainly did. And Sam, you also nailed it talking about fault lines. They go along just like when the VC are trying to find an easy way to get into your base camp. They always search out the weakest point first, maybe where the line's not secured, maybe where the landmines weren't put out. But due process, Donald, you know nothing about due process. Like Sam said, we're under the supreme law of the land here. This country is the Constitution of the United States. And read the Second Amendment, Donald.
And let's be very clear. We don't have a democracy. I know people like to throw that word around a lot, but democracy, socialism, communism, fascism, all those deceptive roads lead to the same place, which is tyranny. What we have is a constitutional republic like no other Garamond in history. It's something to highlight. It's something to understand. It's something to study and follow. It was a grand experiment by the founding fathers that was successful when we obey the principles therein, replete with the checks and balances, a one nation under God. That's the key. And we lose that and we're done. But Simon, I'm convinced to you that Donald's working on disarming the people.
Well, I don't know what to say. You know, I really am in so confused by this debate in the USA. But I will mention this, Mr. Bushman. This is something that really struck me. I watched a YouTube video by an American man called somebody or other Whittle, if I'm not mistaken. And he produced a brilliant video showing the statistics of weapons ownership, of firearms ownership versus gun crime in the USA, and it is in perfect inverse proportion. I urge the whole world, not just the citizens of the USA, the whole world, to watch that video to see for themselves the perfect inverse proportion. Wherever there are more guns, there is less gun crime. Wherever there are fewer legal firearms, there is more gun crime. End of story.
There is his name Bill Whittle? Dead.
Bill Whittle, that's correct.
Okay. So Bill Whittle on gun control lays it out, but I'm convinced to you that this is one of the keys. If they control the cash, if they control the guns, they can control society, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is, you might even think, well, Donald's a good guy. He wouldn't do that. Yeah, but what happens when the guy like Barack gets in next? Okay? What happens when, okay, these history, when government gets too much power, it always ends up in anarchy or tyranny, and one leads to the other.
Hey, Sam, I'd like to point out one more thing. I forgot to mention a minute ago. I'd like to point out the fact that the government is the United States government is the largest illegal gun dealer in the world. Witness Fast and Furious. That's what that 5-6 years ago. Look at the Bloods and the Crips. The United States government, the CIA, they created the Bloods and the Crips back during the Reagan administration, and they were running drugs down to South America, trading for drugs, and that's where they were distributing their drugs. There was a fellow by the name of Gary Webb did a complete investigative report on that. He's been suicided. But I hope I didn't interrupt you all too much. I just want to point out the United States government is the largest illegal gun dealer in the world, part of the reason they did it in Fast and Furious is because they could try to set the United States gun owners up by arming these drug dealers in Mexico and then creating all this gun crime on the border. And then the politicians like Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi could say, oh, look, all these guns, they were made in the United States. So they're creating all this crime, so we have to get rid of the guns. Yeah, but Nancy, you're the ones that gave the illegal guns to the drug dealers. I'm going to shut up now and go back to y'all.
All right, Simon, what other hallmarks do you see that we in America need to be cognizant of and highlight so that this doesn't happen to us? Not that I want to ignore what's happening to you folks. I want to do everything we can to help, but at the same time, I want to highlight it and make sure that that doesn't become an around-the-world problem.
You know, it is the classic communist tactic that what they do is they tell you that everything about you is wrong. They say Ford motor cars. Oh, dear me, that's too bad. We should all be driving Saabs. Then they tell you that your faith, the practice of your faith in your schools. Oh, dear me. Well, that's not very fair on the Hindus. So it's a broad spectrum of things that they do and which you guys are witnessing in the USA right now, the undermining of those core values upon which the USA was built. I remember when I was in university almost exactly 30 years ago, one day at university, I was reading the local newspaper, the Natal Mercury newspaper, and it had a report in it comparing religious observance amongst Christians in the world. And the religious observance in the USA was far higher, Christian religious observance, far higher than any other place in the world except South Africa. The point being that they will tell you that your religious values are wrong, you should have a homosexual marriage. They will tell you that you should have homosexual pastors blessing in the name of the Lord God Almighty. They will tell you that your schools are wrong, that your language is wrong, that your values are wrong, that your cars are wrong, that everything about you is wrong. Until you feel so insecure that they're able to bring a substitute value system. That is how communism works. That is part of the core tenets in any communist hand, any communist manual for revolution. Your listeners can go and look it up for themselves. And that, I am positive, you can all see is happening in the USA right now.
Eddie, we got a big worry on our hands, my friend.
Yes, we do. You know, Simon, everything you've said, I see here in the United States every day. I'll give you an anecdotal act. I was in Midtown yesterday with my oldest daughter. She bought me dinner, as she usually does on her day off. And Midtown is kind of like the Haight-Ashbury of Memphis. This is the 60s, you know. And we witnessed busload after busload after busload of these children, all from 7th grade to senior high school, coming to see the movie, the free movie, Black Panther. Well, let me tell you about Black Panther, and I'll try to make this short. Black Panther, the theme, and I found this on 2 weeks ago of our show. Black Panther, the theme, our guest said, the theme and the ending theme was white genocide. This white genocide, this like Sam so correctly nailed it. It's one of the many fault lines, you know, race. Okay, it's being preached. It's being sponsored by the government. The government's taking these white kids down here to see this movie free to preach white genocide.
It all comes down to indoctrination, and that's been happening since what, apartheid in Africa, Simon?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that's correct. A relentless tide of indoctrination coming, you know, one wave after another.
All right. How do you think we fight back? What can we in America do to help you and save ourselves at the same time, sir?
Well, briefly to help us, Saitlanders, as you can imagine, is very unfashionable. You can say persona non grata in the new South African Rainbow Nation. It is impossibly difficult for us to raise funds. We've just started a free starter campaign with the help of Charles C. Johnson, and we are imploring the world before God. I don't want to melodramatize this, but we are begging, please help us. Please help us. Help us in our free starter campaign. It is to raise funds for diesel fuel and radios and medicine in our preparations for civil war, the civil war that has now been promised to us 7 times by senior black leaders in recent months, including very explicitly by our Minister of Defense. I am in an extremely remote part of South Africa right now on the top of some mountains, reconnoitering safe havens for civilian refugees for this forthcoming civil war. Please help us to raise funds for desperately needed vital necessities for civilian non-combatants. This is legal and lawful stuff. It's not for guns and bombs. It's for diesel and medicine and radios. Please help. Freestarter.com. Look it up. We would be grateful.
All right. Eddie Miller, the final word's yours, sir.
I would like to ask Simon, I know nothing about this, for people in the United States that would like to come to South Africa to stand shoulder to shoulder with you to, for instance, combat medics, medical, to give medical assistance, to fight as a soldier when the fight is coming. It's coming. Is it difficult for people to come to South Africa at this point, Simon? Do you even know? I mean, things are changing so fast. How can we come to
Easy. It's very easy to come here now, but that will change once the crisis begins. We've had probably close to 10,000 offers from various Americans to come and help us, and we've said to them, bide your time, boys. It's not time yet. There will come a time when, under international law, particularly Protocols 1 and 2, additional to the Geneva Conventions, it will be lawful to defend a perimeter that contains civilian non-combatants. That is international law. When that time comes, we will be grateful for your help.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're flat out of time. Simon, my friend, our prayers are with you, sir.
Thank you, and God bless you for this opportunity. Thank you, Ed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're flat out of time. Don't forget to tune in tonight to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards, Eddie Miller, Keith Alexander, and others taking on the world every weekend on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio stations. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is their program. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America, but you got to get involved. We need your funding.
We need you to spread the word and share the radio broadcast. Tell your neighbors, keep up on the news, and help us with every penny. This is the Widow's Mite Radio Network, and we need your financial support. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare this nation shall endure.